Good day, buffet. Sorry to keep you waiting. Your table is ready for All You Can Eat, a weekly comeback of K-pop music commentary. Each week we take a brand new release and we tell you what we think about it. I am one of your hosts, Steven, and we do have another serving of spam for you this week. Before we even get into it. Anything else, please follow us on all our socials.
Nice.
But just at How You Can Eat on Instagram. And that's where we're active, I think. And of course, you can email us at howyoucaneat@gmail.com. But yeah, spam. So you know who else is here. But I'll just bring him in. It's our other co-host, Alan Mark. How are you?
Hello. I am doing okay. Allergies are kicking my butt pretty bad, but otherwise I'm good. Also, regarding social media,
yes,
I have no idea what to post for our account. So if people can give us suggestions, then yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, let us know. Anywhere you want to find us, please just tell us. I think same here about allergies. And I think I also got a little bit sick.
Oh no.
Just like a minor cold, because mm-hmm. A bunch of us got sick when I had family visiting. We had a kid with us, so maybe something went around. But feeling better now. A little stuffy.
Mm-hmm. How was it with your family? Because that's the reason why you couldn't join
us. I wasn't here for a couple weeks. It was really fun. My niece, she's 4, and she's just so, like, fun to be around. She talks so much. And we had 5 of us staying in my apartment.
Oh, my God.
Because my parents, they originally were going to stay with my brother when they were, when my sister was going to stay with me, my parents were going to stay with my brother, but then my brother got sick first.
No.
And then they just decided to all stay here, and it worked out fine. We had enough space. I gave my sister and my niece my bed, and then we had a couple air mattresses that we set up, and so it was fine. But it was kind of fun just having everyone here. But then after my sister left, I went back to my parents, back to their house, upstate, because Monday was the eclipse, of course.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Tried to get a slightly better view. It was very cloudy.
Oh no. Like, how much did you get? I don't think you got totality there, did you? But
no,
it was like a decent amount, at least.
It just felt like, cloudy plus the eclipse. It did darken, and we got a lot of bugs like coming out right away. It's like a bunch of mosquitoes started flying around us, which I heard them saying on the NASA broadcast in each of the cities, like. So everyone was saying, oh, yep, and here are the bugs now. So I guess they come out. So we got that, Mm-hmm. Did you get, anything?
Like very partial, of course. Okay. It wasn't, but April, friend of the podcast, who y'all have heard on the 17 Face the Sun episode, she flew
Face
out.
Face the Sun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was facing the sun that was covered by the moon. She flew from the Bay Area to Ohio. So she's staying with friends in Cincinnati and drove up to Dayton to watch it from there, where they got totality there. That's which is pretty cool. So, yeah.
Nice. The Friday before the eclipse, we in New York experienced another event.
Oh yeah, it was uncommon. I saw that, or like I saw videos of that happening. I was thinking about texting you. I guess I didn't. Yeah.
Well, it would have been chaos if you didn't know. Like, yeah, we had a minor earthquake. Mm-hmm. I think it was in New Jersey, but then I guess it could be felt in the city, although I did not feel it in my apartment.
Are too used to it from all the Bay Area earthquakes you had.
I guess so. I feel like they happened that frequently. They were like always kind of scary when they happened. So right.
Yeah, especially, was that one like a 4 point something?
This was 4.8. Yeah.
That's considerable of a earthquake. That's not nothing.
Yeah. So that happened, but I just heard like a little thing like shift in my apartment, but I personally didn't feel like the shaking. So but a lot of people I know did, but yeah, I guess we were fine.
Dang. It's not even near like where the plates are, right?
Yeah. So that's strange. I guess there's some fault that, or like maybe even some unmapped faults.
Oh.
So that, I don't know if that's like really true, but I saw like a headline that said there are unmapped faults. But
interesting.
Yeah, that run through New Jersey. But I guess they are somewhat active. We just never feel them.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, but yeah, that was my past 2 weeks. yeah.
Well, yeah, for you technically it's been 3 weeks since you last talked. Yeah, because we didn't have an episode last week.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean for me, I did plug this when you were last here, where I had the D&D baseball themed D&D episode. Premiere came out on the 10th, which is really fun. I went to like a watch party for that with the Mark who owns the blog Bayside Baseball, and also was the GM for the campaign. So yeah, got a bunch of people together, watched it. It was super fun. I was like nervous that I had to watch myself on TV or on YouTube, but but yeah, it was super fun. I think the episode turned out well. And yeah, the rest of the episodes, I think, are on an every other week schedule. So the next one will be up on YouTube on the 24th. And then up, I think the last episode will be at the end of May. So yeah, or the 22nd. So that's when everything's going to be out. You can watch that. Cool. But episode one's out now, and it's
nice,
real fun.
What is the name of the channel if I wanted to find it?
On YouTube, I believe it's just Bayside Baseball. Okay. Yeah. Let me double check that. Bayside Baseball, but the series itself, because they're also just a baseball blog for the Bay Area, and we'll have videos of them interviewing players from, you know, major leagues, minor leagues, women's leagues here as well. Like, it's not just a D&D channel. yeah, so if you don't mind that, but the series itself is called Critical Hit Last Chance, so you'll be able to see that. But yeah, just at Bayside Baseball. Cool. Check that out and check out the blog too if you like baseball or into like the journalism aspect as well. Like, yeah, it's a good place to follow that Bay Area baseball. So
cool. Yeah, sounds good. So yeah, I guess we should just plug next week. Our guest is Jung-Hoo Lee of the Giants.
Yeah. If we could get that yet, that would be so fun.
That would be, yeah. Anyway, yeah, everyone go check that out. I still need to tune in, but I will watch it.
Thank you.
Let's see. I don't know. Is there anything else? Did you?
What else?
I haven't gotten any albums lately. I was trying to think of anything K-pop related I've done, but almost nothing.
Yeah, I haven't either. I'm trying to no. We got a record recently, but it's not K-pop, so
Oh, I got a record over the weekend. I actually ordered it in January through my local record store, and it finally arrived, and it is of a Korean band
ooh.
from the 70s that I love. They're called Kim Trio. This is like a best of, and it's a beautiful record from Lighten. All right, they got it through Lighten the Attic, but I think the label is called Beatball Records. It's such a great collection of songs, a fantastic cover on it. I just want everyone to go listen to this band. They're like the
Nice.
grooviest group and the best bass player like in the world.
Ooh.
So
No, I'm
everyone
gonna
go
love
check
that.
out Kim Trio. This new release is called Riverside Rendezvous, and it's got some really, really beautiful artwork. And I got the green vinyl.
Oh,
But
nice.
yeah,
Very
so
nice.
yeah. And also, I guess everyone go check out your local record store this weekend
Oh,
for Record Store Day. So that should be fun. Yeah, maybe, I don't know, do any record stores do special like K-pop stuff? I
I
don't
don't
know.
know. Yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, not a lot of
There's not a
K-pop
ton, yeah.
is released on vinyl, which I feel like they're losing out on because you know how much K-pop fans love merch and
Yeah.
obtaining things. I feel like vinyl is such a like one of my favorite records that I still own is the box set for Chungha's Carencia because it's
Ooh.
just so massive and so there's a lot in it and that's a good
Yeah.
album too.
That's
So
a great one.
yeah. But yeah. Oh, also something that happened this past weekend. I don't know if you caught it on YouTube or anything or any clips people have been posting, but then there are like multiple Korean acts at Coachella this past
Oh,
weekend.
that's right. That's right. I've just seen some clips from their accounts, or just Le Sserafim, I suppose. But yeah. Who else is there? Is BB is there?
BB is part of
Oh.
the 88 Rising set,
Oh,
I
okay.
believe. And then she brought out Jackson Wang for an upcoming song as well. The Rose performed there, and ATEEZ. I think and ATEEZ is the
Oh,
one that I've seen
wow.
a lot more stuff on because it was just a lot of their clips are really good. And there's a specific fan chant in Gorilla during the bridge outro where everyone just yells "Break the wall!"
Oh.
And apparently, you could hear that watching the feeds of the other stages at
Oh.
Coachella. Because I think it was during
Wow.
downtime in between sets for the different at the different stages. But if you're watching, if you just happen to be watching that page in the in between where it's just this person's up next, you just hear people yelling "Break the wall."
Yeah.
So
Whoa.
that's
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 cool.
that was really impressive. Yeah,
Oh man.
ATEEZ showing out.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Wait, okay. Was that the first weekend? Is it
Yeah, it's
coming back? Okay.
that was just the first weekend, so that was they'll have another one.
Cool. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see if
So
I can tune in.
but yeah, I just want to bring that up. I guess we'll bring it up again next week, seeing how weekend
Yeah.
two goes.
Yeah, well, I wonder who what they'll say this time what will be. Okay, well, I guess why don't we just get into our episode now? But before we do that, I am pretty excited to talk about this group. But we always like to talk about what else has been released in my segment called Steven Specials of the Week. So I'll take it away, and it is my segment called Steven Specials of the Week. I got what you want. I got what you need.
Do you want me to clip that so that you're it's not, you know, you're not saying the same
it's
thing
fine because I just remembered I had to say it and I had to set it up again, so it's fine. Maybe I should write that into
your notes.
Yeah, but that's all right. Anyway, we have five very interesting releases across 2 days this week, and we have three debuts. So starting on Monday, we have a comeback from Boy Next Door with a mini album called How, and the title track Earth, Wind, and Fire. This is their second mini album following their previous releases Who and Why. Because they all have we'll have to see what their next two are gonna be. But this album is called How ? It was Who ! And then Why ? So this album has 7 tracks, including an English version of the single, and it was produced almost entirely by the duo of Pop Time and Kako. But Zico wrote and composed on track 1, and we also see members Taesan, Eunhak, and Myung Jaehyun on 5 of the 7, or I guess 6, new songs. So that's Boy Next Door. Moving on to the first of the 4 releases from Wednesday, it is a comeback from Wonwee, a mini album called Planet 9. Isotropy, and the title track Beautiful Ashes. This is their 3rd mini album as Wonwee, and the 3rd in the Planet 9 series. This album has 6 songs, and it's their first comeback since members Yeonghun and Kangyeon were discharged from their military service. And then they'll be having concerts on May 4th and 5th in Seoul. Credits other than the band members include Gray Dot and RBW songwriters John Daewoon and Coco Dubu Appa. And then our next releases are 3 debuts. First up is a group called Anode with a single Imagine Number 1 Trouble, and they are a duo under Mystic Story. They may also be working as a production duo for the company, from what I could find. And the 2 members, Anli and Blanc, they wrote the single alongside the singer Tama. And that's kind of all I could find right now about the group, but good luck to Anode. Next up is B-Wave with a debut mini album called B-Wave, B semicolon wave, and the title track Sing. This is a 6-member girl group under Gold Dust Entertainment, not affiliated with former WWE wrestler Gold Dust, of course. And the name the group means blue wave, clear signal of their political leanings, and there are 3 tracks on this album. Credits include El Capitan, Vendors, Sarah J, Soft Serve Boy, Sophia Quinn, Noemi Legrand, Louise, and Maria Marcus. So a pretty good crew here. So good luck to B-Wave. And lastly, our 3rd debut the week is a group called Unicode with a mini album called Hello World and the title track Let Me Love. They are a 5-member girl group under Double X Entertainment, and all 5 members are Japanese, and they have been describing themselves as performing K-City pop. And the single was produced by Jin Young, formerly of the group B1A4. Mm. And other credits include Sun, Big Shark, Luce, Hux, and Yu Kyungmin. So good luck to Unicode. And those have been my specials of the week. So why don't we get into what the release we're going to talk about for the rest of the episode. I think it would be helpful to know what has been happening with this group, though. So, Alan Mark, why don't you fill us in?
Sure thing. Yeah, so I'm back this week to add a little dash, add a dash. I want to talk about Lucemble, another post-Luna group. So we've discussed post-Luna activities multiple times now with Audi Circle, Chu, Heejin, but now it's time to catch up with the girls that are part of Lucemble. Yeah, we already know how going into early 2023, the girls of Luna were filing their injunctions to suspend their contracts with Blackberry Creative. Hyunjin and Vivi were the last ones to file theirs up on February 3rd, which were eventually granted on May 9th. And then just a couple days later, they followed that up by signing with CTDENM on May 11th. Yojin, Gowon, and Heiju, as you know, we know as Olivia Hay, but she prefers going by her actual name, Heiju. So they would finally have their contracts terminated as well on June 16th, along with Hassel and Eve. But the aforementioned trio also signing with CTDENM on July 5th. And that's when now all of the girls of Luna are gone from Blackberry Creative as of that point. But quickly, who is CTDENM? I didn't actually find this out until I was writing this up. It's a South Korean label founded in 2022, run by Yoon Do-yeon, formerly of Blackberry Creative's A&R team, working A&R on Ladies Code's Healing, what should have been a trilogy, but those the Healing EPs they had, as well as A&R for Luna's pre-debut projects, further working with Luna in other capacities up until their Luminous Japanese release in, I believe, which was 2022. So he's working closely with Luna up until he left Blackberry Creative, it seems. All right, back to Lucemble. Now with these five Luna members signing with the company, they announced at the end of July 2023 that the quintet would re-debut as a new group, Lucemble, their name being a portmanteau of Luna and Assemble, defined by CTDENM as five Luna members coming together as one. Maybe more. Maybe that might mean more later on. We'll see. But yes, Lucemble debuted on September 15th with their self-titled EP featuring the lead single, Sensitive. Coinciding with the group going on a U.S. tour titled The Luna Assemble, the U.S. Debut Ceremony. Then Lucemble would have their first comeback with their second EP, One of a Kind, featuring the lead single, Girls' Night, on April 15th, 2024. That's this week, and that's the release we're discussing today.
Cool. Thank you, Alan Mark.
You're welcome.
Wow, yeah. So yeah, lots gone on with, I guess, all of the Luna girls, and so much is happening, and a lot is, like, coming very soon, like, this year has been pretty fun.
Yeah, with this episode, now, we've now have talked about, or at least when we wrap up this episode, I guess, we have talked about 10 out of the 12 members of Luna post-Blockberry.
I wonder
there's one we know discuss. One coming up, and yeah, we know that the other finally signed with an agency. So yeah, I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, okay, so look out for those episodes with guest Jungwoo Lee of the Giants.
has anyone from Luna thrown a first pitch for the Cubum Heroes? I need to see.
I don't know.
I know last at the end of last year, Sua from Dreamcatcher did. So I'm trying. I need to get a connection with the Giants to try and pull Sua as a as an international fan.
That would be.
I'll get working on that. Yeah. Anyway, this is a standalone podcast, so we're here to talk about Lucien Bolt today.
So we have the album One of a Kind, and there's 7 songs. So for this week, we decided we're just gonna go talk about the whole thing. Usually we pick 3 of the B-sides in addition to the single, but we're just kind of gonna go through everything. It's been out for just a couple days, so we just are gonna give our thoughts overall so far of how we feel about this album. I guess it starts off with an intro which I love to see, and it is called Intro: A Butterfly's Signal. And I mean, if you like, I guess, have been following any lore at all from their Luna days, I think you see that, and it's just, what are they doing here? I mean, I didn't really look into it much, but
I mean, any like, reference to a butterfly with any of these groups, I think, is gonna harbor to probably their most. I can't say most popular hit because it wasn't very popular when it came out, but it's the most, I guess, well-known out of all these songs in the orbit, in the orbiture of what is Luna. So.
And, I mean, it's a pretty, I like the intro. It's cool. Yeah. I don't,
the guitar is really pretty in it, so.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I like the like occasional words you hear. Mm-hmm. I didn't look up what they meant yet, but I think it's a good setup for the album. I just feel an intro is always appropriate though. But then the first full song is the single Girls Night. Let's make a night for us. You gotta see the light. What did you think of it?
I think for me, when I was listening to it, I was automatically comparing it to Sensitive, because now we have more Lucien Bolt to compare itself to. Which Sensitive was, I liked it, but I also didn't think it really stood out much as like a single or a song in general. So listening to Girls Night, I definitely think it's like a good step up from Sensitive, as a like really fun pop song, a good lead single for an EP. And I think this song, like both vibe and vocally, like suits these 5 really well. Like it's something like, especially when seeing who was going to be assembled in Lucien Bolt, I was like, oh, okay. It's like definitely a group that isn't as, we talk about line distribution a lot, especially with Luna. Like, these are 5 that don't necessarily get the benefit of more line distributions when they were in Luna. It's already great having them in a group together to shine a bit more. I feel like this song definitely does, I feel like it does them a lot more better justice than Sensitive did, because it actually has a really great melodic chorus. It doesn't feel like they overproduced on like the vocals, especially when they start doing more of the beltier stuff. So I think it's a much tighter production for them, which I really like to see. So it's a really solid single for Lucien Bolt.
Yeah, I agree. I also like this a lot, and I prefer this to Sensitive. If I had to compare the 2 singles so far, I think it really is that the chorus for me. I really just love, I think I just kind of love the entire production of it too. It just feels like they're not like trying too hard to fit into like a certain style yet, or into the current audio, just like the sound right now. But it just feels really like they're establishing what they want to sound like, and I actually think the chorus is really good, and I wasn't completely sold on the song until we got to it. But then we heard it, and like it was so fun and like bouncy. I love the melody. I love getting Hyunjin in the lead up to it, and I think, as you were mentioning about some of the members not getting lines, like hearing like Vivi, like not have just kind of fillers, like or like okay, it was
it she felt gets like
a new
she gets like a good like half of a verse or like a half of a chorus. It's like she gets substantial like parts, which is like it's so wonderful to see
for
people that like have they've been in the K-pop realm for a while now and worked hard, so very happy to see a bit more of them. They're able to show off a bit more.
I remember when I was just watching the video, like because when they get lines, they show them, and we actually saw her them singing. So that was just so nice to see. But let's see, the song, like it's one of the songs that I appreciate more after listening to it a bunch. So I think it's a good single. It's just like how it just doesn't sound like one that will do really well overall in K-pop. It just is like it's a song that I would always like, but it's just I don't know, like I'm sure it will do okay, but it doesn't feel like a song that will get them a win yet.
I think if anything, like because it is a very like straightforward pop song. And I don't think this necessarily diminishes it and what I think about it, but it does also feel very safe. It's a very like safe standard pop song, which doesn't have any like thing that really pushes it over the edge to be interesting or at least like especially interesting or special. Like it's still like there are formulaic more portions, like the halftime trap beat second chorus, the just a syllabic post chorus, na 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 na, like it's things that we know and hear from pop music that works and sounds good, but yeah, it's like also what's gonna make it stand out.
Because I was thinking about with that the syllabic parts, like I was thinking about Triple S, because it felt like they would do that same la la, or they would specifically choose the syllable la there for them. But it felt like things we've heard before. I think it is an improvement on their previous single, but I don't know how it's success, like I guess how successful commercially it will be yet. I guess go ahead.
No, I'm gonna say maybe the goal isn't necessarily for commercial success, even though I'm sure that's what they want, and you know anyone trying to be successful making music wants some level of commercial success, but you know maybe with the name like Lucemble, maybe there's a greater scheme in place for them to that we'll have to see if it happens or not. I think if anything, we're all maybe hoping. And
yeah,
and seems like the music video could also allude to something happening. You had more to talk about the song, I guess.
I think I'd be okay with just jumping into the video, which does begin with a view of Earth. So perhaps from a...
Is it Earth or like, it doesn't look like Earth. I'm sure it is Earth, but then
I looked at
the map.
That's not Florida.
It looks like Florida, but the rest doesn't look like
Florida. Yeah. But I guess what I was trying to say is that there's like, we're in space at that point. I need to pull it up because I just watched it earlier. But let's see. I didn't have about like the video itself kind of not a lot as a K-pop video stood out, but then certain moments in it just made me wonder about like what they are their concept is and like what they're going for. Guess was there anything that you wanted to mention about it?
Yeah, it's just so funny, and I think Sensitive was like this too, where it's like the most of it, like the like from the main song portions of it, are just like a straightforward, like I forgot what Sensitive was about, but then this one's like, oh, they're all having fun, like sort of partying together and stuff like that. But then it's bookended by like these science fiction things going on. Well, actually, the second verse even had some of that where it seemed like they were inside that whatever floating space satellite thing is. But it's like, because the song itself is so light and fun and feels like it's just about like, you know, partying with your girlfriends. But then it's like, we're going to sprinkle like this bit of lore, which like, don't know how it connects to, does it connect to previous Luna lore? Does it connect to Artemis lore? But it's just like, it's a little jarring, just like switching back and forth. But I think, especially as Orbits, we're like used to like, we gotta like, there's something bigger going on and we're just gonna wait and see.
Yeah. When I saw them like sleeping or their eyes were closed, I was immediately just brought back to Star or a voice, and then because they have that scene where they're all just their eyes are closed, right. But then like there's a thing, like the thing that's has a laser, that like eye shaped floating thing, and like, yeah, I don't quite know yet what is happening, but Gohan woke up and interacted with it. So I haven't, like, I don't remember a lot of what happens. I feel like I would recognize some imagery, but I didn't pick up on anything else in this.
Yeah. The things falling from the sky did like remind me of that one image from Artemis's Birth music video, where it's like the painting of the like the fetuses like falling from the sky. But like it's not a direct one for one, so it's hard to say if how connected they are. But
I don't know.
I don't know. I guess we won't know until more releases.
Okay.
But did you catch, like, because at the end when it's like Vivi's close up, there's like a quick like cut where it's like a just one frame of something, and then it goes back to Vivi with red eyes. Did you catch that?
I guess not. I didn't. No, maybe I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now yeah. I see it. Yes, yes.
Yeah. But I was like, I was like, what is that? I found the frame, and it's just like a image of a metal like Ouroboros, where it's like the snake eating its own tail. So now I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Are we going back to the beginning?
Oh boy.
Is everything one all the same? It's like the Mobius strip, but kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate that they're leaving all these little things for us to wonder about and speculate mm-hmm. on. So yeah, I suppose we'll just kind of have to wait. But yeah. I guess one thing I would say about the video as just a standard type of release is I wasn't too impressed by the choreography scenes. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is the choreography itself, but I wonder if, yeah, I don't know. Those didn't stand out to me, and I was hoping maybe it would be a really kind of like catchy type of dance for the song. But maybe I feel like there were moments where they looked really rushed trying to get to the next move. Mm-hmm. So it didn't feel as smooth as I know that they are capable of. But I think that's, if I had like a criticism of the performance, that was kind of it.
Yeah, there's, I mostly feel the same way, though there's one part of the choreography that I did really enjoy and like caught my eye as it was happening was the second chorus, Nananas, when everyone had their back turned except for Heiju, and she was singing to the camera. I thought that was like framed really nicely and how like it accentuates the person who has the solo vocally, but then like, but everyone else is still there with the doing their choreography, but even though like she's off center, but it's still like the focal point of their choreography. I liked how they did that, and Heiju is just such a good performer that sure, stage presence is always good, so it made her stick out even more in a really good way. But other than that, I do agree that the choreography like doesn't, it didn't feel tied to the music as much as like I like my choreography to be. It just felt like you're mm-hmm. doing moves to the music instead of it being one, like mm-hmm. sort of combined into one thing.
Yeah, I think they did change it up for the last chorus. I think I like that more than the previous ones, but I maybe only liked it because it compared to the previous ones, or it stood out compared to the earlier choruses. Anyway, like the overall, it's like kind of a standard video where they shift to different sets, but then they put in those scenes that you were talking about.
Yeah.
So it is one that we will like review as we get more from them and possibly who else.
I think just one thing that like I feel like I'm like critical of in K-pop in general is when like concept photos and teaser photos like are like such varying degrees of style, and then you don't get like and then when you see the music video, you only get like one of them, or maybe even neither of them. At least with this music video, they incorporated all the different styles of the different concept photos somehow, some way. So I did appreciate that, like the fun, bright, colorful stuff, but then also like the black, spacey stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it's incorporated, so it was, yeah, they covered their bases. So I'm happy about that. None of the concept photos are like, what is this doing here?
Yeah. I do have to say I didn't really like the styling for one of Hyunjin's looks. I think it was just the one like the denim, or the one where they're all wearing like jeans. I don't know. I liked Hyunjin's all that much, but
yeah,
everyone else looks like fine with that.
Yeah, but no, everyone is. Yeah, I think she's probably, hers is probably my least favorite out of those sets because everyone else looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, I think we will just have to wait for the next videos to see what how that all plays out, how that everything ties together. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think a very solid single and package. So why don't we just move to the next song? Track 3 on the album is called Moonlight. And this one, I remember I was looking at the track list and I got really excited when I saw one. Yojin was in the credits.
Yeah.
Writing the Korean lyrics. And then I also saw that there's someone named Jinsol in the credits, but I don't think it is the Jinsol.
The Jinsol.
So, but in any way, because I know, like, Jinsol had written a song before, mm-hmm. and I thought that maybe part of it was going to be in this, but we do actually have another very well-known name in the credits. It was Adora, so that was cool to see. But I think also that the song just has the word moon, or it's like moonlight itself. I was really excited. But right now, I don't know. I actually have a ton to say about it. I think it's like, it's a fine song, but this one didn't really give me a lot to put it on repeat. Mm-hmm. Or, like, it wasn't one of the standouts from my first few listens of the album. Yeah, I don't really know what to say. Yeah, it's like, it's okay. It's fine.
Yeah, I think for me, like, I think this song has some of the textural palette of the instrumental I like a lot compared to, like, a lot of the rest of the album. I think the guitars and the use of selective use of reverb was, like, paints a really nice picture with this song. But I think overall, like, yeah, maybe because the chorus is sort of a surprising chorus with like, not monotone, but then it doesn't travel a lot, the melody. It just like, it's surprising, especially the first time it comes in. It's like, oh, you would think it's a lead-in leading to something like grander, but then it's like a bit more subdued, and I like that, definitely, especially the first time it happened, because it subverted expectations in a fun way for me. But then, yeah, I think as the song progressed, it didn't, like, it ended up just leading to that and then not something else. And I think I would have liked it to lead to more directions as it went on. But for the most part, it just kept going, like, up and down, where the down was just the chorus. And, you know, maybe establishing, like, maybe another, like, post-chorus and the second time it comes around with something grander. Or, like, an outro that had something, like, bigger, but for the most part, yeah, there wasn't a lot to talk about songwriting.
Yeah, I think, I guess one thing that the melody of the chorus, it kind of lends it this sort of melancholic feel, if that's what they're going for. But one thing that I liked is that there's that, it's like that pitch down vocal layer under, just like, I think it's really quiet under the chorus. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was an interesting touch, that it, like, I feel like I don't hear that too often, and it was an interesting one in this kind of song. So there were these certain, like, surprising parts of this song. Mm-hmm. And some of the moments, like, there was that section, I think, in the second verse or early in the song where it's like the strings and it's kind of that halftime section. That was cool. But I don't know. It felt nice, but like, I don't know. It was okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't have much else. Did you have anything?
No, yeah, I don't have much else in that. Like, yeah, I think you sort of compiled it really well, where it's just like there are fun like parts, like in the like singular parts in the song, but then overall I think it's just too repetitive for it to be like memorable enough for it to stand out.
Yeah. Okay, then I think then we will do one more song and then we'll go to a break, just so we can end with the last three. But the next song is called Boomerang. So yeah, what did you think of this one?
Oh, my initial reaction to Boomerang when that synth came in, I was like, oh, is this a cover of NTTU's Baby Don't Stop? Because it's a similar-ish synth bass going on. But other than that, like, it just like sort of goes into like there's a song which I don't know if I have a lot of thoughts on this. I think this one for me may be the most forgettable. Even though it sort of sticks out sonically compared to everything else, it doesn't have a lot of the same like synth tones to it, or it's not as melodic. Everything else is very melodic. This one's a lot more rhythmic. So yeah, but otherwise, like, I don't have a lot on this one.
Yeah, I actually also thought NCT during this. I like not specifically Baby Don't Stop, but just like, this is certain things about this make me think of NCT. Mm-hmm. It might even just be like when they go like a boomerang, like I could hear Taeyong like or someone saying that. But yeah, I think also not a ton yet. There were certain like melodic passages that they hit a note that I wasn't expecting, or like I don't know, it's not like dissonant or discordant, it's just like it doesn't feel like that note fits within whatever chord they're playing, but it's just like a really unexpected spot within that melody or that passage. So I thought that was interesting. I think some of Hiju's early lines, there's a couple things like that. And then in the bridge, I think a couple of Hyunjin's like higher notes. They go into a sequence of notes I wasn't expecting exactly. So that was like something that stood out. But overall as a song, it's like I don't think it's all that, it's not like my style so much, I guess. So
same, yeah. But that you mentioned those words, like it did remind me that I think this is where like Hyunjin shows off a lot more, like, oh okay, she's essentially main vocal for this group, because she does like the belty stuff in the bridge. She does like those trickier melodies too, the where it's quicker but still very melodic, like the like I don't know what exactly that melodic line is, but it's not easy. If anything, yeah, those moments impressed me in the song like probably the most, because I guess I wasn't expecting it like in those moments, especially coming from like a very like, as I mentioned, rhythmic part, and then the bridge just opens up so wide into like the soundscape of or just so empty, but gives the room for the vocals to do thing, which is mostly Hyeju and then Hyunjin right after, which doing all that stuff.
It's a very nice bridge, but okay, I think that would then wrap up our first half of the album. So we'll just take a quick break and we'll talk about the last three songs on the B-side. Welcome back to the B-side. We are gonna finish up with the last three songs, tracks 5, 6, and 7 on this album. So starting off with the song He Said, I Said. And this is one that I really like this one too. I kind of think of it kind of like the single, where it isn't until the chorus where I really started to enjoy the song, and then on the repeat listens where I was trying to then listen to the other parts of it. I think this has my favorite pre-chorus on the album. I really think it's so pretty. Is it Hyunjin doing it, or I don't remember right now. But I really like the pre-chorus going like right directly into the chorus. It's also a very straightforward song, like the single, and I think that's maybe why I like these two, that they didn't really complicate it or try to do anything maybe it is a little safe too, but this one, it's just similarly kind of uplifting, kind of happy sound. So I like this one a lot.
I think similarly it brings me back to the chorus as well, because it is a very straightforward pop song with a really good top line. It's just really good. And vocally, it's very like impressive as well. Like, I feel like it suits their ranges really nicely, where it doesn't sound like they're forcing it on the higher stuff. But the melody's still interesting enough where it's really enjoyable. Like this song, vibe wise too, and maybe it's the guitar as well, like brought me back to like sort of like late 90s or like 2000 style pop, like when we were like, especially when like Disney Channel style stuff, like that would be on when we were younger and stuff, like Hoku or something like that. It'd be like on one of those like it would show up in a movie where they're driving down like a highway next to a beach or something. It gives me that imagery for some reason. And it's just, it's pleasant, it's bright, like very like inoffensive, but it's just a very straightforward like youthful pop song, which it seems like that's sort of like the vibe and direction that this group seems to be going with, both sonically and visually with what they do. So I think this just suits Lucemble really well, just based off of the two albums that we've had so far. So,
yeah, I didn't know where to place this, but I think that era is a good one. Like, because I was thinking it has that sort of like an older radio song. Like, if I turned on some FM radio station, this one would be playing a lot, and they would all be wearing like denim that like a cut of jeans that is like not available in new stores, like bootcut jeans, yeah. And definitely like running around in a field. So I was just looking at the lyrics to make sure I knew what section I like, and it is, yeah, the pre-chorus. But I think it's that second one that I really like, where it, I think they alternate lines for a second, and someone sings a higher part and then someone is a little lower. I think they didn't do that in the first one, so I think that was my favorite of the pre-choruses. Mm-hmm. I wish it said who it was, and because I can't figure it out right on the spot, but I really like that second one. Anyway,
I think so. I'm on a I'm watching a color coded for He Said I Said. I think it seems like it's Haeju and Yojin that are going back and forth with Hyunjin doing some of the ad libs in the back for that second pre-chorus, if that's what you're talking
about. It's where I think that sounds right. Mm-hmm. Someone says, "Oh, you and me right here." Mm-hmm. Those are just the lyrics, but that sounds right. Okay, cool. I guess that was all I really needed to say about that.
Oh, speaking of lyrics as well, Vivi helped co-write these lyrics too.
Cool.
We'll get to this part at the later on as well, but every member has a lyric credit on this album, which is very fun to see. After all that, what they have to do with the Block Mirror creative, they're like, okay, let's get our money this time. Put in that effort writing, like getting lyrics in on this album. I love seeing that, and we'll continue to see that as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good note to bring us to the next song. Speaking of people writing lyrics and credits, on the next song, Truman Show. We have a special guest, keeping it all in the family, I guess you could say. Not only do we have Gowon on the lyrics, we do have someone named Minin from Nine, and someone named Eve from a certain group as well. So, and I believe that the person Minin is Eve's sister. I think in one of my specials long ago, she had a single, and I must have mentioned that. So, yeah, I thought that was a really cool thing that they were all involved in this. I think I was especially excited when I at first thought that the Jinsoul was Jinsoul, and then we saw Eve later on. But that's all right. What did you think of Truman Show?
Yeah, I think going into this album, this is the one I was sort of most excited about, because I did see that Eve was one of the credits on it. And also, I already love the movie The Truman Show, so I was like excited for that reference. But yeah, I think this song is one of the, like, ended up being one of the more standouts on the album for me. It feels vast. It's like a lot of there's a lot of layers going on to it, from the synths to that guitar and then the vocals in it. So I really enjoyed just the amount of space this song takes up. But even like sound wise, like similarly to He Said, I Said, it does take me back to like that 2000s pop sound, specifically like Like, this sounds like a Jesse McCartney song to me. So, so the similar sort of vibes, but this one, I feel like it just does a lot more with this song, arrangement wise and writing wise.
Yeah, the song that this one reminded me of was one of Twice's very early songs. Oh my gosh. I think it's Like a Fool, where it has just like that similar acoustic guitar. And like probably just a few years after the Jesse McCartney era. So yeah. And that is a song I enjoy. So I liked the acoustic on this one. Where you hear it picked in, I mean, like, it finger picking in certain parts of it. I think maybe my favorite thing about this song, though, was that very light auto-tune in the chorus. It is... I don't know if I was just hearing things, but...
No, I think it is.
Oh, no. Okay. I feel like... there we get this really slight vocal effect in the chorus. And I really hope it was meant to be there. But, okay. And if not, then I don't know. But I really thought it was a cool touch. But I hope that everyone heard it too. Or else it's going to be a strange note. But anyway... I did like the quieter parts of the song. Mm-hmm. When we just hear the piano and then the vocals. And then it just kind of slowly builds back up, instead of launching us back, because it does give us, it's so interesting that Hyunjin is the main, like, she is.
Yeah.
Singing the parts that any main vocal would have in this. And I think, it makes sense of the group, from the group they have. So, yeah. I did like that bridge. And the bridge all the way to the ending, I really liked.
Mm-hmm. I think this song does a good job of maybe what previous songs, especially like talking about Moonlight, like this does a good job of like setting up the different like ups and downs, like wavelengths of this song, to convey like these sort of the emotion behind the vocals and stuff. I think, but also like. Another straightforward pop song, but also like well done, well built, in my opinion, still.
Okay, I have to find, I will let you know the specific timestamp where I hear the little effect. Oh boy, maybe it's not even there. Never mind. Okay.
Was it an ad lib or was it like part of the.
No, it's like the main. Line, or maybe it's just the way she sounds, and it sounds really cool to me. I think we can now just move on and talk about the last of the new songs, which is called Starlight. We had Moonlight earlier, and now we have Starlight, and we have lyrics from Hyunjin, who also wrote lyrics on for Moonlight. So that is cool that she did both of these songs.
I thought Hyojin did Moonlight.
Oh, Hyojin, I misread it. Yes, that you're right. Oh, okay. Wait, that's cool.
They got these two Jin.
Yeah.
This group also has two Jin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. As the last song on the album, this definitely, like, fits that album spot, like, in terms of the sequencing of this album, I would always place this one as the closer. And it's a song that I think that's, like, it's kind of its best role. It's, like, the last lineup spot in a baseball team, like, or I guess not the pitcher. I don't even know if pitchers anymore.
No, NL removed pitchers hitting. Now it's a full league DH.
Yeah. So they all have a function here. But one of the parts that I really like, I haven't thought about the sort of post chorus sections in any of the songs, so I feel like Starlight has one that works within the song. And it's, again, I still have, like, haven't formed full thoughts about a lot of these songs, but I like that every now again and then part. What did you think?
Yeah, I think we're just saying a lot of the same stuff. Great closer. I guess if we're talking about pitchers, this is a good closer. not necessarily on the offense, but the defense.
Yeah,
it's a great closer. But yeah, I think it's just such a great, solid chorus on this. Like, you love the post-chorus. I love the chorus itself, where we have... main vocals Hyunjin and I guess lead vocals Haeju, where they're singing it, especially the part where the end of the line goes up, that's a nice, well written lyric, like top line, that suits this song really, really nicely. I have this song written by Juno Barletta as well as Alina Smith and Annalise Morelli of Liar, who I'm pretty sure I've shouted out multiple times on this podcast for their songwriting. It's just such another very well crafted pop song that is captivating in the ways that these pop songs generally are. Similarly, I think this song gives me almost the exact same feelings as Truman Show as well, where it's it sounds like another Jesse McCartney song, or David Archuleta would have sang this on American Idol or something. There's something about that type of music that's just, it also feels very good to listen to, and this song, I think this song does has a lot of feel good vibes to it, so.
There are a few songs on the album that it feels like they had something inspiring about them, that is what they're trying to do with them. So I feel like it's a great one that follows Truman Show. They fit well together. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I really liked the bridge on this too. What else? I don't know. Very straightforward song, as you were saying. I think I didn't say much about the chorus, but it is one I really like too. So, I guess, that's kind of all I have for this song. I don't know.
Also, you mentioned Starlight. I don't know. I wonder if this is another callback Starlight? Star Voice or Aldi Circle Starlight from, 7 years ago now?
So,
one thing I love about these, Luna, now, post-Luna things, they're always going to be cosmic in some way, and that's going to be fun, and I like that a lot.
Yeah. I mean... I am very curious about what follows, but okay, I think yeah, we feel like that is gonna wrap up our like overall discussion of the album. So before the last call, we do have to guess what each other's favorites are. And I will guess first. For you, Alan Mark, I will go with Truman Show. And then I think I'm going to pick the single Girls' Night for Chuck.
I haven't thought about Chuck's, but I guess I will also choose Girls' Night for Chuck because it is a very good pop song. For you, I think I'm going to choose He Said, I Said.
Okay. I think right now it is He Said, I Said.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then for me, I think I really wanted it to be Truman Show, but I think in the end I like Starlight more.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But it's like, yeah, you're in the same realm, so it's very close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I guess we'll hear back from Chuck someday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that brings us to our last call. Final thoughts about the album. Maybe I'll go first for this one. We haven't talked about Lucemble really.
No.
I guess I'll just like start, because at first I was almost skeptical of how well this group would do. I was like worried that they weren't going to be in a good home. Some of the initial promo photos, like, they looked really weird, or like the quality of the photos was strange. And then they announced a tour before like they announced any music. So
yeah,
I was a little concerned that this was gonna be like just to kind of almost cash in on the affection of the Orbits without a like a long-term plan for a group. But then they actually were releasing their music, and like immediately after, I just, the production, everything was of like good quality. They sounded good, and they look better than the promo photos that we first were given. So I was less concerned. And I don't think I think most of those concerns have dissipated at this point, especially after hearing this album, which I actually think is very good overall. Like, even though I didn't have many really specific notes, I think that most of these songs are really straightforward, and that there is some interesting production, but like overall it's kind of it doesn't really push any envelope, or like I think it fits with what they who they are so far. But I think it is a standard that they'll have to meet every release going forward, in that they hit the minimums of having really good choruses on the tracks. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of these have that. They have memorable sections around the choruses that we specifically pointed out. So in that way, I think this is a very good, like, no-nonsense K-pop album, in that it's, like, so, like, yeah, it kind of sticks to what works. And I'm glad that this group that I was worried about in the beginning, they're getting, like, well-crafted songs. And from people who know how to do it. So I think it's a really, like, a very good listenable album. And then on top of that, we get just some clues and some breadcrumbs about the future and what their concept is, which is always a plus with, or it will, it is often a plus for a group. So that is something to look forward to. So yeah, I like Lusumble. Oh, okay. I also have to say I wasn't sure about the name at first either. Like,
yeah.
How much did I want the group to be, like, tied to the Luna identity? And then, so I don't know. I'm fine with just this group is now just called Lusumble. And of course, that's the origin of their name. But I think they've got a good, like, they've started off, I think, on the right foot, and they are continuing on that. So as we've said a lot so far, we'll like just have to wait and see what is coming. But I think a very solid second mini album, a second release from them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think I similarly had those, like, concerns, especially when, like, they announced the tour. But seeing now, I guess in retrospect, hindsight's always, like, 2020.
Yeah.
How, like, yeah, it's a small company. So maybe that was, like, strategic in a way where it's like, okay, like, how could we get some revenue for this small company, you know, trying to promote this group of that has had some success before already. But then it's, like, sort of a rebrand. So I think in the end that may have been, like, the smart choice to do. But, yeah, I think overall, though, with Lusumble, I think the thing that not worried me, but then just, like, seeing the group that was built, it's like, oh, yeah, they're missing, like, a lot of who you would consider main vocalists in Luna. But I think that was only a benefit really for them, because then it allowed all five of them to, as we mentioned with Girls Night, that, like, everyone is able to step up and, like, show off their talents in really great ways. And I think if there's one thing about this group of five specifically, it's like it's five with very interesting and sort of different vocal timbres and vocal tones. And hearing more of that in songs, like, is a really great thing. Like, I love Hyunjin's, like, sort of softer, huskier tone that she has. And hearing that, like, you know, also go into more of a belt sometimes, is really delightful to hear. And Go On as well, similarly, very delicate tone, which I think suits a lot of songs in a lot of different ways really nicely. So, yeah, see, like, them getting the opportunity was very happy to have that. But yeah, I think, as I mentioned, I think this album overall, not just a single, but the album, I think, is overall a step up from their first release. These are all really good, really well-crafted pop songs, as simple as they are, sort of, you know, they're, like, understood as these are pop songs. It's not like they're not really infused with many other different styles, maybe except for Boomerang. But it's like these are straightforward pop songs that evoke to, like, the time when I grew up, or we, I guess, grew up with pop on the radio. So I think these aren't songs that I'd necessarily, like, listen to recreationally, you know, outside of this podcast. But I think, yeah, they definitely do enough for, like, their girls to succeed in creating good pop music. You know, if this is what Lusumble's identity ends up being, then I think this is, like, a good direction to go. I would like to see, like, hear and see more, like, risk-taking in some of the songs. But there's also, yeah, it's called risk-taking because there is risk involved. Sometimes it could, you know, fall flat. So maybe that's, like, you know, a smart thing, just going with very, like, safe pop songs right now. And maybe, like, if we do end up seeing some more assembling of lunar beings, then maybe that's where the risks will be. But I think as of right now, like, these girls are and what they're doing with Lusemble, I think, is definitely more than enough for them to just keep making music. And I think if that's what they want to do, it seems like they all want to keep making music, particularly together, then hell yeah, I'm very happy for it, and hope that they keep continuing on in spite of what, you know, commercial success ends up happening. So yeah, it's the symbol.
Cool. Well said. I am so curious about the what other assemblage or what they will assemble. But okay, I think we'll just leave that there, and then I'll finish up. Okay. So, I mentioned our socials at the beginning, but again, we are just at All You Can Eat. So please follow us, and you can email me at allyoucaneat@gmail.com. I didn't have the script open, so I know there's something that we say. But yes, thank you everyone for choosing to dine with us, and we hope you enjoyed your meal, and we hope to see you next time. We're on Spotify, so please check out all our other albums and leave us a good rating.
Ooh, our albums.
Oh, sorry, not our albums, our other episodes. And yeah, I guess I don't have anything else to plug yet, so I'll do that when I have something closer to the date. But Alan Marks, just say the name of the channel one more time.
Bayside Baseball. Bayside is one word, baseball like the sport. That's the YouTube account. And then specifically the series I'm on is Critical Hits Last Chance.
Cool. So yeah, check that out. But yeah, so I think that wraps everything up. So for Alan Mark and myself and for Chuck too, it has been our pleasure being your leaders. So long, stay safe, and we'll see you next feast. See ya.
Luna, assemble.
Okay.
That's my best Captain America voice, which is just a standard white man voice. Yeah.